Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, everybody, please settle back in your seats. Put your chairs straight up. Please fold the tables down in front of you. Put your seat belts on. Gentlemen in the cockpit, I want engines 1, 2, 3, 4 to be fired. I want air brakes on, and now let's get ready for the Savage Nation. There's so much bad news that I'll start with good news. Let me start with the good news. We just learned minutes ago that Joni Ernst will deliver the Republican response to Obama's State of the Union anti-American message. This is a big, big deal because Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa is the real McCoy. You may not remember her, but she gave a stirring speech when she was nominated and then won the seat of the Senate in Iowa. Now, Ernst was elected in November. She's only been a U.S. Senator for a couple of weeks. This shows that the flat-footed Republican Party is starting to understand which way the wind blows, and at least they're throwing we conservatives in America a bone. Let's pray to God. She actually is picked to be the vice presidential candidate, along with one of the old guard guaranteed to lose Republicans. Now, you may not know who Joni Ernst is, but we're going to remind you. She's the hog farmer from Iowa who castrated pigs. And here's what she had to say when she was running.
I'm Joni Ernst. I grew up castrating hogs on an Iowa farm. So when I get to Washington, I'll know how to cut pork.
Joni Ernst, mother, soldier, conservative.
My parents taught us to live within our means. It's time to force Washington to do the same. To cut wasteful spending, repeal Obamacare, and balance the budget. I'm Joni Ernst, and I approve this message because Washington's full of big spenders. Let's make them squeal.
I love, is there another one from Joni? Is that the only pig one we have? Let's hear the victory speech of Joni Ernst.
It's a long way from Red Oak to Washington. From the biscuit line at Hardee's. to the United States Senate.
All right, that's enough. She's great. I love this woman. You know, if the Republican Party had brains, well, they do. They know what's going on, and they understand the American people have had enough of John Boehner and McConnell and the other old guard. They want young blood. They want conservative blood. They want a war, an activist. She was a war hero. Just going over there as a war hero, as far as I'm concerned, given that the rest of us don't participate in the wars against the religion of peace. Joni Ernst to deliver a Republican response to the State of the Union. That is good news. That opens the show here, the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. And we do unprotected talk on the Savage Nation. Nobody else in talk radio does that ever. I do it. And it's working like a charm. Everyone loves it because we don't know who's calling, where they're calling from, when they're calling, what they're going to say. And it makes radio a lot more unpredictable and therefore a lot more interesting. And I'm the only one in radio who can do the versatility that you are. You know I've been famous for 20 years. I've always done politics, but I love the world beyond politics. Science, poetry, art, furniture, dogs, food, cooking, you name it. I do it. Unless there's breaking political news, I'd rather do other things as well. So let's go to the breaking political news. The Pope, who is clear, I would say any educated person, I'm not talking about the masses of uneducated Catholic worshipers in third world countries who don't know who he really is. The Pope is exhibiting his socialism on an almost regular basis, not almost, on a regular basis. The man came out today on climate change saying that man has slapped nature in the face. I'll tell you more about that. But worse than that, the Pope came out against free speech. The Pope was joined with four imams, if you can believe this, saying there are limits to free expression. Do you have any idea how dangerous this is coming from the most important Catholic leader in the world? In that sense, the most important Christian leader in the world. Do you have any idea that when you see a Christian leader of this magnitude joining four imams, to talk about the Paris terror attacks on the route to the Philippines on the Papal airplane, saying that, well, he said there were limits to free speech. For example, on the airplane, he referred to Alberto Gaspari, who organizes papal trips, and who was standing by his side aboard the papal plane, and he said, if my good friend Dr. Gaspari says a curse word against my mother, he can expect a punch, Francis said, throwing a pretend punch his way. It's normal. You cannot provoke. You cannot insult the faith of others. You cannot make fun of the faith of others. Now, you have to understand how dangerous this is in a time like this. Because most civilized people around the world have defended the right of satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo to publish inflammatory cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad in the wake of the massacre by Islamic maniacs at his Paris offices, and then the subsequent attack on Jews at a kosher supermarket in which three Jews were killed. But recently, the Pope and four prominent French imams issued a joint declaration which urged the media to treat religions with respect. I wonder where they were when the Brooklyn Museum of Art was promoting the piss urine sculpture in Brooklyn, New York, a number of years ago. I didn't hear the Pope at that time talk about free expression. I didn't hear imams chiming in saying they shouldn't attack Christianity. Every day in America, Bill Maher and others on the vehement, verminous left attack Christianity. Well, that's their right to be the idiots that they are. And I live on free speech. I'm deeply offended by the Pope, not only because the Pope is way out of line. Does the Pope not know that we in America have the First Amendment? I know it doesn't exist in the Vatican. The Vatican is a dictatorship. Christianity was built upon a dictatorship. But we in America enjoy the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which includes the First Amendment, which grants us free speech, which is quite limitless in its ways. I mean, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. We understand that and we don't do it. But aside from that, the Pope has no business stepping on our First Amendment. But then it gets worse. The Pope then gives a speech, again, about climate change, of which he knows nothing. As I said to you on this program several weeks ago when he first chimed in on climate change, I said the only thing the Pope knows about climate is that when it rains, his minions hold umbrellas over his head. And I stand by those words. He said that global warming is mostly man-made and that he hopes that his upcoming encyclical on the environment will encourage negotiators at a climate change meeting in Paris to make courageous decisions to protect God's creation. So in other words, the Pope, George Soros, the environmental maniacs, and those who would curtail our freedoms are now in the same boat. This is an outrage to all educated people in the world, and it should be an outrage to all educated Catholics as far as I'm concerned. Now, you may say, Michael Savage, you're only a talk show host. Who the hell are you? Who the hell do you think you are to criticize the Pope? Well, I'm only a talk show host. But I will tell you this, the Pope is just a man, he is not God. And if you don't know that, then you don't know your own religion. The Pope is not God. The Pope is a man, and as a man he is flawed, just as I am flawed, just as I have my flaws. But the Pope is a man, he is not God. And as such, men can make mistakes. When I make mistakes, I get punished for them. I try not to make them. I certainly don't delve into areas where I know nothing, as the Pope is doing, with regard to so-called climate change. I called him Lenin's Pope a while ago when he first talked out about global warming, when he said that it's the greatest threat against the world and he wants to be the leading voice on warming at a conference. As I said then, this is income redistribution. And I asked, why are the Democrats, socialist Islamists in love with the Pope all of a sudden? The answer is because he's become one of them. Science is not established on warming. And yet the Pope is now becoming one of the Democrats' biggest allies on income redistribution. The Pope is now a politician. And I gave you data on global warming, including ice core samples from the Vostok ice from Vostok Lake in the Antarctic, which you may remember. It should be still on MichaelSavage.com. I want to remind all of you listeners that the Pope is just a man, not a god. And that in the past there have been some very terrible popes. Pope Sergius III, who lived from who knows when until 9/11, was accused of ordering the murders of his predecessor, Pope Leo V, and anti-pope Christopher in prison.
It is said that this pope's mistress was the young Marozia, later to become a powerful Roman noblewoman, and it was their son who became Pope John the 11th in 931. There are other terrible popes. Pope John the 12th, 937 to 964, was accused of committing many adulteries, even with his own niece, turning the Vatican into a whorehouse, blinding his confessor, castrating and then murdering a subdeacon, invoking demons and foreign gods. Now, you can dismiss all of this as ancient history, so I'll keep bringing it up closer to the current pope. Pope Benedict the Ninth, circa 1012 to 1065. Benedict led a highly immoral life and was accused of various rapes, adulteries, and murders. According to St. Peter Damian, Benedict was a demon from hell in the disguise of a priest, and his carousing eventually caused him to be forcefully expelled from Rome. Still too far in the past for those of you out there who think that I have no right to criticize this activist, left-wing socialist pope? Well, let me bring it closer in the centuries. Pope Boniface VIII, circa 1235 to 1243. Boniface quickly became one of the church's strongest advocates for papal supremacy in both spiritual and civil matters. And he involved himself in foreign affairs to no end. His feud with the powerful Colonna family led to several of their towns being demolished. Palestrina, for example, was razed to the ground, and 6,000 citizens were killed because of Pope Boniface. Next, we have Pope Innocent IV in the constellation of bad popes. He approved the use of torture to extract confessions of heresy. He aggressively applied the principle that the end justifies the means. He used deranged instruments of torture on so many innocent people, including Galileo. The church condemned Galileo for claiming that the earth revolved around the sun. Then we have Pope Urban VI, 1378 to 1389, another bad pope. You get the picture of where I'm going? We then move up to Pope Pius XII, who was called Hitler's pope, but I disagree with that, by the way. He was a questionable man, but he was not Hitler's pope by any means. Pius saved many Jews, and that should never be forgotten. And now we turn to this pope, who I now consider in the constellation of, let us say, questionable popes, if not an outright bad pope. But unless the church itself starts to rein this pope's political inclinations in, they're in for a very, very bad conclusion, is my opinion, because educated Catholics know what socialism is. Educated Catholics know that this is a socialist pope who was selected because of his socialist background. He was not selected because of his genius as a religious figure. He was selected because of his activism as a political figure. And now we see him on the same page as Obama, as George Soros, and the others who would income redistribute from the middle classes of the West to give it not to the poor, but to the rich. And that's my opening today. We have good news domestically and bad news internationally. Pope on climate change, Pope on free speech. Now, before I break from this opening, I have to read you an email from one of my listeners, which I got before the show. And he said this. He said about the Pope and free speech. He said, Mike, I'm from Argentina. And I think it's important to point out that there is an issue with translation. The correct translation of the Pope's statement should be, one shall not make fun of other people's faith, not one cannot make fun of other people's faith. He says it is because of a connotation of the verb poder, especially in the Argentinian Spanish, that the Pope speaks, which differs from its most popular translation in English, where it is said one cannot make fun of other people. And then the man writes, unluckily, I'm afraid this comment will sink to the bottom and misinformation will prevail. Well, whoever sent this to me, Brian B., I want to thank you. You found this on the internet. It's very important that the Catholic Church correct the Pope immediately before we lump him in with the imams who want to limit our free speech. That opens up unprotected talk on the Savage Nation, not only for these topics, but so many others, Muslim call to prayer, to sound at Duke University. Can you believe how far we've fallen as a nation? Immigrants can now get Mexican birth certificates in the United States. Obama releases five more terrorists from Gitmo and sends them to the neighboring country of Yemen, the hotbed of terror. This is a big day in the news business. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Extra, hear all about it. Activist left-wing Pope says there are limits to free expression. Has this left-wing activist Pope not heard of the First Amendment in the United States of America? We know it doesn't exist in religion. We know that there are authoritarian backgrounds in all religions. But we thought that the Catholic Church had shed the connection to this sort of fascistic authoritarianism many, many generations, if not centuries ago. And yet we wake up to find out that this Pope, wearing the garb of a religious figure, is really nothing more than a cohort of the international socialism that seems to be penetrating every avenue of our lives. He has no business talking about free speech other than to support it. And when we see the Pope speaking along with four imams telling us that there should be limits to free speech, you know that something is very wrong indeed. You know that, don't you? So the Vatican and four prominent French imams issue a joint declaration denouncing the Paris attacks, but at the same time urging the media to treat religions with respect. Oh, really? Really? You mean even when a religion calls for killing those who do not conform to their religious beliefs? I wouldn't call that a religion, Pope. If a religion says kill the infidel, is that a religion? Or is that an aberration of a religion? And what, we shouldn't mention it? We should go along like good little Catholic sheeple? Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Pope. Not everybody is a peon in the Philippines who's going to kiss your feet and throw you flowers. You are wrong, and the church better step in soon.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Maureen Malarkey lobbed a series of highly charged indictments at Francis that have ruffled some feathers, calling him an ideologue and a meddlesome egoist who is fastidiously attuned to image and who, with the announced upcoming encyclical on climate change, is abandoning nuance for apocalyptic alarmism. She goes on, his clumsy intrusion into the Middle East and covert collusion with Obama over Cuba makes that clear. Megalomania sends him, Pope Francis, galloping into geopolitical, now meteorological thickets, sacralizing politics and bending theology to premature, intemperate policy endorsements. She is a heck of a writer. She is the heck of a writer. Well, they attacked her immediately. The tone of this piece, which is very accurate in my estimation, was followed by a disclaimer editorial by the editor of First Things magazine, who said that Miss Malarkey's opinion was hers alone and not that of the magazine First Things. Well, you know something? When you see a pope who is a pope of the UN and not really a pope of the Catholic Church, when you see a pope who is violating all of the separations between church and state, you have to stand up, because where does it go? That's one issue. There are other issues that we're going to talk about and other stories that we should talk about, including the breaking news on the Savage Nation. But I promised you unprotected talk. I have yet to take a single caller, so let me sprinkle one in right now. Remember the rules. I call your number, and you get on and you say your name, your station, and your topic as quickly as you can, please. Line number one. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. Name.
Okay, WBAP, Dallas, Texas, Gene.
And your topic.
And my topic is I want to talk to you. To you about Robert Davi.
Oh, God. Who is Robert Davi?
Davi, the great actor that you was visiting in the restaurant in Los Angeles.
Oh, you mean Robert Davi, my friend. So, okay, you want to... Let's go from the Pope to Robert Davi. So what's your point?
Okay, my point was, Michael, I seen a series in 1970 called The Gangster Chronicles.
All right, so you like Robert Davi? Is that the point of your call? You like the acting?
Right. Now,
and that's good enough for me. Now let's go to the next caller. Line 6, you're next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Chris Newberg, WABC.
Bingo. Topic.
For the last year and a half, I've been campaigning for president, 2016 president of the United States.
Well, who, you?
I am, yep.
Oh, God. Okay, so now we're going to start. Now we're going to start to get unknown candidates.
No, no, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter.
No, hold on. Give us a single line as to why you should be president.
I have the solutions.
Like, I said, give me a single. Wait a minute. I've heard that from every yokel who's ever wanted to be dog catcher. Give me a single line which defines your presidential campaign.
You have it the best. The three best words are borders, language, culture.
Well, that's right. So I should be president, not you.
You could be. Pride, productivity, and responsibility is what I was going for 20 years.
Let me hear that motto. Pride what? Pride?
Pride, productivity, and responsibility. But that's 20 years ago.
Okay, well, I appreciate the fact that you want to run on my campaign of borders, language, and culture. See, now you see, unprotected talk has its limitations. I'm not so sure I'm going to stick with this for 3 hours a day because you don't know what you're going to get. I'll try a couple of more. I may have to go to the topic at hand. I don't know. Let's try the next one. Line 5. Name, city, station, topic. Fire away, line 5.
Hey, Detroit, WJR, topic. Art history. I don't know how much longer we're going to put up with the same thing they did with R. Mutt getting submitted as art for data. I think it was it Dunchel who sent that? But we got a lot of people claiming to be media, claiming to be news people, and they're just reporting garbage.
Okay, so what is it about art history that is relevant to a national radio show?
Okay, art history, as is to radio, is that we're allowing people to submit anything as facts, whereas what they're submitting is trash, and there's not enough people...
Well, wait. Are we talking about art history or history in general?
It's kind of both. It is a mix of both, because art...
Well, it can't be a mix of both. I mean, give me a specific. What are you complaining about? What's bothering you about art in America right now?
Okay, let's take... the trash talker Sharpton on the TV. Okay, people think that it's being submitted as politics, but it's trash talk. It's not relevant. It's hate speech, but everyone's willing to accept.
We understand Al Sharpton has thrived on hate speech from the day he jumped out of the gutter, from the day he was wearing dirty sweatpants with a bullhorn until he took the Jenny whatever he's on, whatever diet he's on now, trying to look like Mr. Cool. But don't blame that street radical. Blame NBC and Phil Griffin. Phil Griffin lets that hate talker spew his anti-American, anti-police, anti-white rhetoric every day. It's not him. There are many like him. But it's Phil Griffin who should be fired, not Al Sharpton.
Absolutely. And we need more telling of real American history, because what they're teaching in our schools, especially in Detroit...
All right, so that leads to an interesting discussion, which I'll do briefly because I don't want to get sidetracked. Today is the beginning of my scholarship program. You know about that at all?
I do.
Okay, my scholarship is for undergrads and who are poor, basically, who don't have any money. And you can see the Savage Paul Revere Society's What Does It Mean to Be an American Essay contest. It's $100,000 total. Why am I doing this? Because I want to encourage college students enrolled in 2 to 4 year accredited college institutions to study and promote traditional American conservative values, emphasis on the word conservative, not on American psychotic left-wing values. They need not apply. There's billions of dollars for those left-wing louts. So that's as simple as that. I'm doing my job. I'm doing the best I can. 855-400-7282. Let's try to go around the country a little bit on these calls and not get one station dominating everybody. Line number 1, name, topic, station. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm listening to streaming Zeno Radio in Kent, Ohio. My name is Daryl Yane.
And topic, please.
And I just wanted to thank you for bringing out the Patrick Henry and all your listeners. And,
well, we're liable to get the second rather than the first part of Patrick Henry's refrain. With the sleeper cell in the White House, It's only a matter of time until something horrible happens to those of us with the guts to speak out against this sleeper cell.
Well, I was going to try to do for you what you do for us. I was going to try to stimulate you on a couple favorite topics, music and psychology. I had been, forgive me, I'm a layman on the topic, just learning. I was reading this Schopenhauer, I believe his name was. He was fed up with humanity. He turned to the arts. He had influenced both Wagner and Freud. So my minor question is, who developed musical notation? Because it's like a miracle we can hear these symphonies from 300 years ago.
I don't have an answer. I'm not a musicologist, nor am I a historian of the world of music. It's a great question. Who was the first person to develop the language of music? I don't really know. It's a great question. It's a very literate question, by the way, and one that should be discussed. I think it's permitted to listen to music in America today. I know that the Muslims will now be taking over Duke University to chant to Allah at Duke University on a loudspeaker, forcing Christians, Jews, Hindus, and everyone else to listen to the Allah prayer. And maybe they will soon outlaw music because it may be an offense to Muhammad. I don't know.
The second question, Dr. Savage, I am a little familiar because I've had friends that were psychiatrists and psychologists, and these horrible treatment of these poor patients with these antidepressants. I've always asked why this and why that. I've done my own research. I've talked to people about, do they believe they have a subconscious? And most people don't believe it. I think...
Most people, you're alleging most people don't believe they have a subconscious?
Yeah, like a little man. Like, I'm sure we dream.
What if you have many of them?
Polynesians don't dream about icebergs, and Eskimos, you know, don't dream about palm trees.
Yeah, I mean, what if you have many, many consciences? I mean, you know, if you look at Shakespeare's plays, you would have to say that each of those characters in his imagination came from somewhere, and you'd say they came from his imagination, which is what? It's his subconscious, isn't it?
I think everybody...
So all creative people function with a direct road in and out of their subconscious. I'm one of them. In fact, after many years of self-analysis, I was accused by a professor, friend of mine, by the way, who said to me, you know, you're crazy. He said, you have no barrier between your conscious and your subconscious. I said, fine, it's worked for me so far, and that was 40 years ago. I don't know why people are afraid of their subconscious. It's not all bad.
I think that everybody has options every day, big ones, small ones, and you go from A, B, C, you narrow it down to two options, and I think they confuse the subconscious, which would just be your second choice, and you don't really have a subconscious, it's just the second, you know, your default choice. I'm going to do A.
Okay, so you don't believe in a subconscious, you believe in a series of logical choices.
Yes, sir.
Now, how did you come to that conclusion? That's an interesting assumption.
Because I keep asking why, and it's just as though some guy just said, "Well, you have a subconscious," with no proof.
You're talking about Sigmund Freud, but long before Freud, we heard of a thing called the conscience, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
So, in many people, is the conscience not the subconscious?
Boy, I think that.
I mean, if you read enough psychology, you'll come to understand a few things that do apply to this conversation and would apply to a national audience. For example, I have read that depression is aggression that's blocked. Have you ever heard that?
No.
That most people who are depressed because they have an aggression towards someone or some event that they cannot express actively. And they feel powerless, and it turns back on them, and they become depressed, depending upon how deeply the aggression needs to be expressed in their own mind, and how deeply they repress it, that's how deeply they become depressed. So I've read that, and I think it applies. I've seen that in my own life. I get depressed in my own life if I block certain emotions. Did you know that? Don't you feel that in yourself?
Well, I have situational depression, which I've been told is different than clinical.
How do they differ?
Well, clinical.
Oh, okay. So, I got it. In other words, there are situations that cause you to become depressed rather than clinically, biochemically, okay?
Yeah, like your family died in a car wreck.
All right. Well, again, I truly believe there is a subconscious in my own experience and analysis, and I can prove it to you because if you brought up the Hawaiians? Or you said...
So that people dream, so there is an unconscious.
Yeah, but listen, I had spent years as an anthropologist prior to my incarnation in other fields, really did it, did field work, lived in primitive villages in many islands of the South Pacific, spent many a night in foreign languages that I didn't understand, and encountered spirits that these people live with. And how would you define these spirits that so-called villagers or third worlders in those days, I don't know if there are any left anywhere, any remote, I don't know if there's a remote place on Earth anymore. How would you define these spirits that they live with? And also, by the way, I'm a collector. I was a collector when you could still find them back in the late 60s and early 70s of masks and artwork from New Guinea, New Hebrides, New Ireland, places people don't even know exist. And if you look at their artwork, you will see a man's head or a woman's head, and molded to the same head are many spirits in clay form, made out of mud and feathers and colored with various and sundry colorings from the earth. What do you think these represent but spirits within their own psyche?
Well, I think in the terms of epistemology, I guess is the word, that I've recently learned that Hindus and Buddhists, it's not a religion, that they're just thinking about like some type of, I don't even know the word, but it's more of a philosophy than a religion.
I was told that by a real Buddhist rather than the American converts from Catholicism, the women of Marin whose husbands left them who become Buddhists and think that they found God. The real Buddhists tell me that it's not a religion, it's a philosophy. This is a great conversation. I have to say that Unprotected Talk has struck gold. Thank you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Ever since the Islamic murderers in Paris, going back to 06 when the Danish cartoons depicting Muhammad sparked death threats, violent protests, sending the cartoonists into hiding, people are asking, what is freedom of speech? Does it include the right to offend? And in my Freedom of Speech Award back in 07, which I played on this show the other day or last week, I told you that I found from Winston Churchill the answer, which is that the First Amendment was not created by our brilliant founding fathers to protect polite speech. It was written to protect offensive speech, which is something that our Muslim immigrants ought to learn about before they're permitted to become citizens of this great nation. And I also found for you an article entitled Religious Terrorism Versus Free Speech, which first appeared in the New York Times in 1989, when it was run by more moderate individuals than the current crop of left-wing fanatics. And the author Leonard Peikoff wrote this: a religious motive does not excuse murder. It makes the crime more dangerous. It took the West centuries to move from medieval mysticism to the Enlightenment. And I have more to say about the Pope's astonishing attack on free speech aboard the papal plane, joining imams. That's right, you heard me. More of Unprotected Talk when I return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, break that record. It's offensive to some members of the American population. Talking about love, jumping a train, that is outrageous. And I think B.B. King should be called before a censorship board and told not to sing about love in such a, let us say, such a brazen manner. After all, it's offensive. Talking about love in such a manner out of wedlock, that's offensive. I think all of blues music should be evaluated by the Pope. I think all of blues music should certainly go before a religious board on which sits liberal rabbis, imams, and such. We're talking about something that you took for granted that's now being snatched away from you right under your eyes, and that's freedom of speech. What you don't realize is that under this sleeper cell in the White House, virtually every one of the freedoms that you assumed was yours by your birthright is under assault. And isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that this assault upon your very freedoms themselves is coming not from the right wing that you feared it would come from? Oh, your whole life you were told, oh, watch out for those right wingers. Those right wingers, they'll take away your freedom of speech. Those right wingers will tell you what art you can produce. Yeah, all of the fears you had were valid, but you see, when you have a damaged optic chiasma, you see everything upside down and backwards, which is why liberalism is a dangerous mental disorder. Now, I realize this might be offensive to liberals, but unfortunately, it's true. It's a correct diagnosis from Doc Savage, and we're specifically now talking about the assault upon free speech by radical Muslims, as exemplified in their murderous assault in Paris last week. And yet we wake up today and we see a continuation of this in the form of a statement by Pope Francis aboard the papal plane saying that there should be limits on free speech, that if it's offensive, you can get punched in the nose. Now, he does it in a homey, folksy way. And he doesn't really understand, I don't think, that we have a First Amendment in America, nor does he care. He is such a close ally of Barack Obama that I feel he actually believes there should be a limit on free speech. And we're talking about this kind of papal ignorance versus free speech on the Savage Nation and other topics. He also has come out as an expert on climate change, a topic of which he knows nothing so far as I can tell. He has no background in science. He's never read a scientific paper. And as I said last time in the piece I did called Lenin's Pope, and the secret history of global warming, which was 2 weeks ago, he now comes out and says that this is the biggest deal on earth and that we got to protect God's creation, blah, blah, blah. So my feeling on that is the only thing the Pope knows about climate is that when it rains, his aides open umbrellas for him. But bigger than that is the issue of the separation of church and state. When did the Catholic Church become so brazen as to suddenly step over that very, very, very deep firewall? Well, I'll tell you when they started and when they got away with it. When the Catholic Church was given billions of dollars by the federal government to help usher in millions and millions of illegal aliens because they need the pews filled with illiterates from Central America, that's when it happened. Once the Catholic Church and Baptist Family Services and certain Jewish organizations and certain Protestant organizations were compromised by Obama with billions of dollars in taxpayer-funded resettlement programs, the churches, the synagogues, etc., became useless institutions of religion and instead became arms of the community organizer Barack Obama. Write down every word and see how good it is. Back in 1989, there was an article by Leonard Peikoff that first appeared in the New York Times about this issue. And it was called Religious Terrorism Versus Free Speech. It's one paragraph. And it was during the period after Ayatollah Khomeini's attack on Salman Rushdie. Remember that? And the government did nothing to protect him? Well, he wrote this: a religious motive does not excuse murder. It makes the crime more dangerous. It took the West centuries to move from medieval mysticism to the Enlightenment and thereby discover the only safeguard against endless, bloody, religious warfare is the recognition of man's inalienable right to think and speak as he chooses. Civilization depends on reason. Freedom means the freedom to think, then act accordingly. The rights of free speech and a free press implement the sovereignty of reason over brute force. If civilized existence is to be possible, the right of the individual to exercise his rational faculty must be inviolable. I know a lot about freedom of speech, because I'm the only member of the American media I, Michael Savage, who was not permitted to enter Britain based upon statements that I never even made. So believe me, I know all about this subject. And I know that we are facing a religious terrorism in the form of these imams. I get that. But did you ever think it would also come from the Pope in your lifetime? I didn't. I didn't at all. And yet it did. Mr. Peikoff went on to quote Ayn Rand, one of the great philosophers of recent times. And she was talking about the assault on free speech. And he says, as Ayn Rand wrote in Philosophy, Who Needs It, in her prescient 1960 essay, Faith and Force, The Destroyers of the Modern World, it's one paragraph. Ayn Rand wrote, the conflict of reason versus mysticism is the issue of life or death, or freedom or slavery, or progress or stagnant brutality. Reason is the only objective means of communication and of understanding among men. When men deal with one another by means of reason, reality is their objective standard and frame of reference. But when men claim to possess supernatural means of knowledge, no persuasion, communication, or understanding is possible. So in this regard, it's quite understandable that the Pope would join imams in saying there should be limitations on free speech. Don't you think so? Well, that's one of the topics on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. I would advise you to go back and revisit my article, actually my MP3, I think it's still on michaelsavage.com, entitled Lenin's Pope and the Secret History of Global Warming, which I did 2 weeks ago. I think it's still there. And I would suggest that my associate, Mr. L, D.L., take the piece I just did and make an MP3 of it, because I'm going to add it to that essay for a big project I'm working on. Yes, yes, indeedy, again, Michael Savage, the mind that never rests, 24-7, kicking out ideas like sparks off a spinning wheel, sharpening blades, never stops, never ends, middle of the night, doesn't end, always ideas. After the last bestseller, Stop the Coming Civil War, I announced 3 new projects, the Scholarship Project, many others, all on michaelsavage.com. I also told you that my novel, Countdown to Mecca, will be released this spring by St. Martin's Press. It's the opposite of what you may think, so don't rush to judgment on me and say that I'm talking about negative things about Mecca. It's the exact opposite, but you have to read the novel, and I would assume you liberals don't read novels to begin with unless they're one of your own. But that novel will be out this spring from St. Martin's, third in the series of the Jack Hatfield series. But there are other things I'm working on. I'm right now working on my next nonfiction book at the same time. You say, well, why are you doing this? Well, it's like, okay, why am I doing this? Because I do it. That's what I do. As a barber once said to me when I told him 10 years ago I didn't want to write any more books, as he was clipping my hair, I said, I don't want to do any more books. He said, why? He said, that's what you do, as he continued to clip my hair. In other words, just as a barber clips hair that grows, I edit words that come from my subconscious, characters, ideas, stories that you can't imagine. You say, is there a subconscious? We had that discussion in the last hour. I had a dream a few months ago in which a woman's name appeared that doesn't even exist, and a title that doesn't even exist. I woke up and I wrote it down. I trained myself when I was 18 to write down ideas I have in the middle of the night. And I say, what? You know how I learned that? I used to listen to the adults talk in Brooklyn, the Bronx. They would talk. You see, they actually conversed. And I would sometimes overhear things that stuck with me. And one of the things that stuck with me when I was a very young kid trying to make myself into something was a discussion about a distant relative in Brooklyn who I think was a scientist or a science teacher. I don't know what he was, but he was definitely amongst the educated side of the family. I don't know how high he had gone. And let's say his name was Manny. And they were talking about him in wonderment. They would say, you know, I think he was an engineer. They said, you know, Manny wakes up in the middle of the night with a pencil and a pad next to his bed, and he writes down his ideas, and I thought he was crazy. But I never forgot that. And I trained myself to write down some ideas that I have in the middle of the night, certainly not all. Some of them are, you know, some is like rubbish, you know, like trash on a, you know, if you're sending an email, you could trash it, you hit the trash can. Not every idea is valid, but some of them are quite amazing. If only you'd open your mind to your subconscious, you'll find out that there's some amazing gems down there, you know.